I've got a microphone up here. And Tuck's going to come up and take the microphone, and he's going to go around and ask you to give your question so that everybody can hear it. Amen? All right, who's first?
Testing, testing, testing.
Okay, who's first? All right, Jacob. Oh. All right.
What was the time?
Hello, hello, hello.
Nate, that's my question.
Is it working?
Oh, okay. What was the time frame when the wise men told Mary, or when Mary was told that she was going to have a baby to when she got pregnant? What was the time frame? Was it
what was the time frame between the time that she had the baby and the wise men that came?
No, no, not the wise men. When God told her. The angel. When the angels told her. She was already pregnant? I'm not asking you. I'm asking Pastor.
Okay, what was the time frame from when the angel
told Mary told that her, she was going to conceive?
I have no idea. It doesn't say.
Okay. I have another one.
I would say it was right away. I would say it was probably pretty close to being right away.
Okay, do you think Mary was picked to give birth to our Lord before she was even born?
Before what?
Before she was even born. You think she was already picked?
Well, God knew that Jesus was going to be born before Mary was born, yeah.
So, but do you think it was already pre...
Oh, yeah. This was all put into motion before the foundation of the worlds were put together.
Okay. I know you had a big one.
I don't remember.
You already answered this question a little bit before, but I'm still going to ask anyways because a lot of people in here will probably know it. Does anybody die during the tribulation?
Will anybody die in the tribulation? Yeah. Yes. Lots. Yeah. Millions.
Millions.
Millions and millions.
All right. And how do the people who are already dying or who are going to die, how are they going to stay alive? For example, that all the food and stuff are gonna, all the stores gonna be raided and stuff. How are they gonna stay alive? How are they gonna be able to have food to survive?
How do who stay alive?
How are the people gonna stay alive
during the tribulation?
Yeah.
Well, there's gonna be lots of people die during the tribulation, but you're gonna have to. You can't buy, sell, or trade unless you take the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the sign of the beast.
Okay.
You know, one of those three things. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of people who are going to make it through the tribulation by not taking those, and many are going to be martyred because of it, and they're going to die because of their martyration during the tribulation time.
Who do you believe is giving out the mark of the beast?
What's that?
Who's giving out the mark of the beast? Who do you think?
Who is?
Yeah.
Probably the government.
They're already doing it.
The government?
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's face
government?
It, you could easily get the mark of the beast or the name of the beast or the number of the beast, and you may not even know it.
Which government? Ours?
Well, you got to realize what government is going to be in place during the tribulation.
I don't know.
One world government.
It's going to be a one world government, and the Antichrist is going to be the head of that world government.
Okay.
We have no idea what it's going to be called.
So are the Jews still going to make sacrifices during the tribulation?
Yes, they will for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation.
And then what happens after that?
After the first 3.5, okay, when the tribulation starts, there's going to be a peace treaty that's going to be signed by Israel for 7 years. It's going to be a 7-year peace so that everybody on the earth is going to be at peace for 7 years. Then at the middle of that 7 years, the Antichrist is going to take and take that treaty and tear it up, so to speak. And then the sacrifices are going to stop, the obligation they're going to stop, and Everything's going to stop at that 3.5 years or the middle of the tribulation.
Okay.
Is that when he does the sacrifice of abomination?
Hmm?
Is that when he does the sacrifice
yes.
of abomination?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
That it?
Yeah.
Give it to Susan.
When the rapture comes, what happens to the people that aren't saved?
What happened to the people that get saved during the tribulation?
What happened to the people that don't get saved?
Don't get saved?
Yeah.
They go to hell.
You talking about right after the rapture?
No, like during the rapture. Yeah. After the rapture.
Well, right after the rapture, the people that aren't saved stay here on the earth. And they have to go through the 7 years of the worst tribulation ever to be on the earth. In fact, the first... If you go through the bowl judgments, you'll see that 1/3 of all of the drinking water is going to be destroyed. 1/3 of all of the landmass is going to be destroyed. 1/3 of all the people are going to be destroyed. It's not going to be a good time. So, you had your hand up.
I was going to say, my hope is in the rapture.
Amen. Amen.
Be with Jesus Christ.
Yep. Amen.
So that's my hope.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I'd like to know
just hang on. Let me get that back there. He's taping this tonight, and it's going to go on the internet. Okay. And
the question is, what is the meaning of nativity? There's a young man, about 15. His folks have been asking him, and he's questioning that. So what's nativity mean?
What does the nativity mean?
Nativity scene or nativity?
I'd have to look up the definition in the Bible. Uh-huh. But nativity means that which is born.
That's what it's born.
Right.
That's when Jesus is born. But that it means just that which is born.
Right. So. Yes, sir.
When they come back,
hang on, Bob.
When he comes to take us away, all that's been reborn has accepted him. We have the people that are mentally not able to comprehend being saved. We have little children that are not at the age of accountability. What are we going to do? What is he going to do with them?
They'll be taken out.
They will be taken with us.
I believe that they'll be taken out. It's the same way as if they die now.
Yeah.
Age of accountability, they'll go to heaven. And I know of mentally challenged people who are in their 50s who have a mental capacity of a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old, and they cannot understand the difference between right and wrong. They can't understand the difference between sin and righteousness. And up till that point, when a person can take and understand that, then you're at the age of accountability. And I believe that God has mercy on those, and they'll be taken to heaven.
Okay, I sure miss this question and answer.
Amen.
But another question.
Only one. Oh,
one
I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding, Bob. Go ahead.
Across our nation, marijuana is being legalized for medical purposes and for luxury purposes. What can the Bible do to guide us on that?
Okay, let's take a look at the drug situation, okay?
Okay.
Opioids. Okay, opioids are one of the worst drugs there is out there because an opioid will destroy the body.
Yeah.
Marijuana also will destroy the body, same as cigarettes, the same with alcohol, the same with all this stuff. The Bible says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, we're to keep this temple pure. We're to keep this temple, And so we shouldn't bring things into God's temple that's going to destroy it. And that's my take on it.
Okay.
You guys got any more? Oh, okay.
Time's up.
Come on, birthday boy.
It was Sunday night. You were preaching on Joseph and Mary and the lineages, and you said Mary's lineage went back to Adam, or was it Joseph?
Sunday night.
You said yes.
Or last Wednesday.
Or Sunday night. It was Sunday.
I didn't preach Sunday night.
No.
Oh.
The last time you preached.
Oh, that would have been Sunday morning.
Okay.
That would have been Jesus, the Son of Man. Okay.
Yes, Son of Man.
Yeah.
Luke. Which one was it that you said, Mary or Joseph, that went back to Adam, the lineage?
Mary and Joseph, what?
Who went back to the lineage of Adam? Who went all the way back?
Mary.
But.
Oh. Well.
Go in the book of Luke.
I did.
Yeah,
it'll
go all the way back to Adam.
I referenced it further because you referenced another verse, and we read the lineage, and Joseph's goes all the way back to Adam.
Let's go into the book of Luke.
Luke 23.
Because there's only two places that it gives the genealogy. One is in Matthew, and that's of Joseph. And the other one is in Luke, and that is of Mary. Let's see here.
Luke 3:23.
Okay, now let's go down to chapter 3 and verse 38.
Yep.
Okay, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of who?
Adam. That's talking about Joseph.
Huh?
On 23, look at verse 23.
It's talking about Joseph's lineage.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to Adam.
Yes. Yes, Joseph.
Verse 23?
Yes.
And Jesse himself began to...
Jesus. And Jesus.
What's that?
We all go back to Adam, but they can trace there.
Okay. Okay, if you look at this, what happens is this. If you go through the lineage, you're going to see children born that were not of this lineage. If you go, let's take David for instance. David had many sons, but there's only one son that the lineage of Mary came through. Now, Joseph, there was a different son that the lineage came through of David's. And so what we need to understand is that Mary went all the way back to Adam, where Joseph only went back as far as Jacob.
He goes back to Adam.
Where?
From 23 to 38 is Joseph.
This is talking about Mary in Luke.
No.
Yeah. Okay, look at. Okay, let's. Jesus himself. Oops, I'm sorry. Let's go to 23.
Right.
Verse 23, right?
Yeah.
Of chapter 3. Is that where we are?
Yes.
Okay. It says, and Jesus himself began to about 30 years of age, being as was supported, the son of what?
Joseph.
Okay, the son of who? Joseph. Why was he the son of Joseph? Why was it that he had to be called the son of Joseph?
Legal reason.
Huh?
Legal reason.
Yeah.
Right. The reason being is, okay, if they would have said, Jesus, the Son of God, nobody would have believed him.
Right.
No, we understand that.
We right. get that, but Joseph's lineage goes all the way back
Joseph,
to
Adam. Which was the son of
Adam.
Eli, and then which was the son of...
Well, wasn't it
Joseph's line, he got corrupted by, I can't think of the guy's name.
Right.
And it goes all the way down to Adam.
So that's why it's important to Mary that's clean all the way through.
Okay, now, this Joseph is not the Joseph that married Mary. That's not the same Joseph. This is a different Joseph. Because if you take and you look at, I don't have my complete chart of genealogies, but this Joseph is a different Joseph. Joseph was a common name back then. There was a lot of Josephs. It's the same way with Peter. Peter, there's a lot of Peters. There's a lot of Judases. There's a lot of, you know, people named like that. And this is a different one than what Joseph, the husband of Mary. Because if you take in, let's go to, let's do a parallel here. Go into the book of Matthew. I think it's Matthew chapter 3.
I couldn't find it. I was going to ask somebody what chapter you guys were in. Chapter 3.
After, are we looking at what chapter in the book of Matthew?
Okay, here. Let's take a look at this. It says, Book of Generations, Jesus Christ, the son of David, verse 1, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, so on and so forth. So they started at Abraham and went forward. Now, let's go to verse. Now let's go to, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Okay, Jacob was not Heli. It was Jacob was the husband, was right, of okay? Now, you see that? No, it was not a stepfather. No, that was, this was Mary's line. Matthew 1, in verse 16, it says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, if you go into Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, and Jesus himself began about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Heli was different than Jacob. Okay, they're two different people. Okay? All right. Yes, sir. Ten verse four.
Hang on, Chuck. Speaking to the microphone.
Okay, in Acts chapter 10-4, the word, I don't know how you pronounce this, ALMS.
10:4 it says, Acts 10:4, it says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Alms?
Yeah, what is alms?
Alms are money, tithes. Okay? Okay. Tuck, you want to take this to the back? Yeah.
Hang on, Nick.
Some churches use this. Why do they consider that on this rock, he's telling Peter, on this rock I build my church. Now, some people get that all mixed up.
Now, that's a good question. Okay, when he said, on this rock I'm going to build my church, if you take and you look at the Greek word that he uses for rock, it means pebble, small, little, like a pea gravel. Okay, who is the rock that the church is built on?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock that the church is built on. What Jesus is saying is, upon this pebble, I am going to form my church. He's going to. He's not going to be the cornerstone of the church. Peter's not. But if you go and you look at Peter's life, you know, from after the ascension of Jesus, you go in the book of Acts and you look at what Peter did, you know, how he healed and stuff like that, you know, and how he was a pillar in the early church. You know, that's what Jesus was talking about. He's not saying that Peter is where the church was going to start.
They get it mixed up, and I've had that question, so I have to be very careful when I answer, because I have a lot of people asking me that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. See, what happens with that is you have to look at the Greek and the Hebrew. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like love. Okay. Love, there's five different translations of love in the Bible in our English language. You know, one is agape, one is phileo. One is saying, you know, there's a lot of different ones in there that you know, are used, because we just don't have a word that, you know, matches that word. And so, did that answer your question?
Yeah, that partly does, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people from that,
yep.
I believe, really, really believe that's what
right.
it means.
And see, the thing of it is, there's nowhere in Scripture or in history where it says that Peter was even in Rome. Peter was never in Rome. And so Paul was, because Paul was in prison in Rome,
right.
but he didn't start a church in Rome. And so Peter was never in Rome. So, you know, how they figured that he was the start of the church, I don't know, there in Rome.
First Pope, that's the
first Pope.
Oh.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know. Yes, sir. Give him the mic. There you go.
I was going to say, there are certain religions that teach, and one in particular I will not name, that God is made of flesh and bone. And from my understanding of the Bible, that's not correct.
No, God is spirit.
He is a
and we
spirit
need to worship
being.
Him in spirit. He's
All
not
right.
flesh and bone. Now, let's take a look at this. God is, believe it or not, flesh and bone also. Now, how? Okay, let's look at the Godhead. What is the Godhead?
Father,
Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, we're made up of what? Body, soul, and spirit.
Okay,
if you look at us. And God, when he created man, he said, let us make man in our own what?
Image.
What was that image? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay, now, God the Father is spirit. God the Holy Spirit is spirit. God the Son is flesh. Okay, do you understand that? You know, God the Son came to earth, was born, died, rose again the third day according to Scripture, and ascended into heaven, where he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in his glorified body. Okay? You understand that?
Yeah, that helps.
All right? Yes, sir, Chuck.
Chuck, hang on.
Okay, in Matthew 6:14, Why do the Catholics still believe Jesus on the cross?
Matthew 6:14.
That's the way I interpreted it.
For if you forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. No. Okay, let's go back. Let's take a look at this. If you look at the verses before it, Jesus is talking about the Lord's Prayer, the model of prayer. So what he's saying here is he says, now, let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Starting in verse 8, it says, Be therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. And in this manner, therefore, pray ye unto the Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. What is it saying that we need to do? Okay, we're to forgive those we owe, or who owes us money and things. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he goes into 14, and he says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What he's saying is, okay, if you'll forgive somebody who does you wrong, then your heavenly Father is going to forgive you. Is that cleared up?
Yeah.
A little bit? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about what we need to do with our lives. First, we're to forgive our debtors. And second, we're to take and forgive those who do things bad to us. Okay? But that's what that verse is talking about. Yeah. Well, see, yeah, you're right. Because if we don't forgive those who do us bad, how can, you know, God forgive us? You know, I think of the man the steward, the unjust steward, who had people owed him all kinds of money. And he says, okay, if you give me 50% of what you owe me, I'll forgive the rest of it. And so on and so on and so on. And so they all did. And the master, he says, hey, he says, you did good. You forgave those that owed me money. But then he went out and somebody owed him personally money and he had him whipped and thrown in prison and everything else. And the master said to him, he says, because you did not forgive him, then I'm going to take the same thing out on you, so to speak. You understand? I don't know. I have to look it up. It's the story of the unjust steward. Yes, sir.
I have a sister that is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She's a former missionary for the church, and she's very devout to her religion. She said the name of God is Elohim. Now, I don't know if that's correct. My interpretation of the Bible says that his name is Jehovah.
Okay, let's take a look at what God's name is. What did God tell Moses his name was?
I am.
I am. Go into the book of Revelation and you'll see, I am who I am. I am the great I am. Okay? If you go into the Old Testament and you go into the Hebrew, and you look at all of the names that they name God. There's Jehovah Jireh. There's Jehovah, I can't think of all of them. There's like six of them, six or seven of them. Those are God's names. Huh? Yeah. You know, those are all God's names. And so, you know, God has many names, but I like to take and look at Jesus as my Savior. You know, and so, all right.
I'm curious, you know, we were just talking about forgiveness. And I can't think of the verse, but I know I've read it before. It basically says that do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers for what fellowship you have. And I guess that gets a little confusing for me when it comes to forgiving them, because how can we forgive them for being against what we believe?
Okay.
So what do you think of that?
Let's take a look at, okay, you're using a verse that says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Okay. Be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay. Now, if you take and you look at what that verse is talking about, as far as being yoked together, it's like having two oxen. And these two oxen are here, and they put a yoke around them, and the two of them are supposed to be going in the same direction. Now, what it says is that we should not be yoked together with unbelievers. And I believe that what it's talking about is being in business. Now, when we came down to Arizona, I had two partners that I was working with. One was in Chicago, and one was in Detroit. And one of them was a Christian, and the other one wasn't. And I was so convicted that I should not be yoked together with another unbeliever. Another one is marriage. You know, we shouldn't be yoked together with people that we're not, you know, compatible with, as far as Christians, non-Christians. Right. Right. You broke your rule.
We try to say that it's you know, there's people out there that try to use the God is love, and that we should accept all people, no matter what they do. And I guess that's a tough area for me, because you know, there's a lot of sins that are being taught as okay. And how can we be loving and forgiving to people that are breaking God's law?
Okay. Let's take a look at that as a in the realm that you're talking about. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, that's God's love, all right? But then you go into Revelation chapter 21, and he says, for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's God's justice. You know, we have a loving God, but in the same hand, we have a just God. And we have to realize, and this is where people, I feel, sometimes get this thing all messed up, because they say, well, God is a loving God. You know, why did this happen, or why did that happen, if he's such a loving God? Well, God is also a just God. And we need to take and realize that.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. What is it? Luke 15.
Luke 16.
Luke 16. 16 what?
Starts at 1.
Huh?
Starts at 1. Luke 16. Beginning of verse 1.
Yeah, that's okay. That's the one you're looking for, Nick. Luke 16, chapter 16, starts with number 1, goes up to 13. on the unjust steward. Luke 16, verses 1 to 13. Huh? No, that's the unjust steward. That's the one who he went and he had people owed his master money, okay, and he went and he said, well, okay, I'll take 50%, so on and so forth. Yeah. And his master said, you did well. Then he went out and he had somebody owe him, and he got beat up, and he had him beat up. He had him thrown in prison and everything. And then the same thing happened to him. Because in verse 13 it says, no servant can serve two masters, either he'll love one, either he'll hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and other things. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be out of here. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the questions. It's good to see that people are reading your word. Father, I just pray now that you'll guide us, direct us, be with us as we go our various ways. Bring us back safely again on Sunday, and we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Thanks for coming tonight.